You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment. The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Castle After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Castle After Show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to AfterBuzz TV's Castle After Show, Season 6, Episode 21, Law and Border.
I get it.
You get it? Yeah. I am your host, Tiana Hobson, and joining me, I have my lovely co-host.
Hi, guys. I'm Kate Aquilano.
And before we get started on tonight's episode, I want to thank you again for watching our show this week. And if you didn't know by now, because we've all been talking about it, our founder, Maria Menounos and Kevin Undergaro have an amazing show on Oxygen called Chasing Maria Menounos. You should definitely check it out. It's really fun.
So fun.
You get an inside look at AfterBuzz TV and all the things that go on here when the cameras aren't rolling. Well, in this case, they were rolling when that happened.
You get it, though.
Yeah. Just last week, there was an awesome AfterBuzz pool party that we had last summer, all in neon, while Maria was out of town. So you can watch us get into a little bit of trouble and fun. And it's a really great show. And please go check it out. It's Tuesdays at 10 p.m. on Oxygen, or you can get it on iTunes, Amazon, and on demand.
So there's really no excuse.
Yeah, no excuse. What? You don't have cable? Go on the internet, because that's what you're doing right now.
Boom. Simple.
iTunes. Simple. YouTube's, whatever. All right, let's get into tonight's episode.
Law and Border.
Sorry, I'm just thinking about how you just got it, too. Before we get into the case, though, I just want to start off by talking about Espo and Ryan.
I was going to say the exact same thing.
Because I just want to kind of talk about it so that it's not just thrown in at the end.
So the reason I love this episode is because I love Ryan and Espo. Everyone knows that. The whole side story was amazing.
Yeah, so they find out that Beckett has asked Lainey to be her maid of honor. And so the guys are like, well, wait, has anyone heard about Castle's
who's going to be the best man?
Oh, well, it has to be between one of them because he spends all of his time with
these guys.
Yeah,
they're like, he has famous friends, all the authors and whatever. But he's like, he spends every day in the precinct. So it has to be Ryan or Espo, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's how they're thinking. So they both are overly nice to Castle the entire episode. And I just love that Castle and Beckett kept kind of giving weird looks.
They're like, what
to
is
them,
the
like,
deal?
What is happening right
Why
now?
Why are you being so nice?
Yeah. Espo gives Castle his pin that he likes, which I like. He's like, it's okay. We're best bros, man.
I like Ryan gives him a special family recipe.
Yep.
And I'm just like, how cute is that? That's so Ryan.
Espo tries to talk Ryan into conceding.
Yeah.
He's being like, look, man, we should just make it easier on Castle. And
really want you planning the bachelorette party? Clearly, I'm the one that should be planning it. Yeah. But then when they go down to ask Lainey, just choose for us. And Lainey just looks at them and be like, you guys are so stupid.
And the
I
whole
love
time
it.
You just are thinking, like, clearly it's not going to be either one of you.
And then they decide on their own. They're going to be co-best men.
Which, I mean, was a nice thing. It was something that crossed my mind. Mm-hmm. Maybe, you know, they could both be the best man. But I'm not going to lie. At one point during the episode, during this whole best man thing, I was like, well, I think it would be kind of better if Castle had Alexis as his best man.
Did you think that?
I thought that.
It's really cute once he said that, but it didn't cross my mind.
It crossed my mind right, I think, the first time when Espo was like, maybe one of us should back down. And I was like, maybe Castle should have Alexis be his best man. I think that would be cute.
Yeah.
And like, because I was like, who are Castle's friends? Just like we never see Beckett's friends outside of Lainey. Like, we never really see Castle's friends.
Other than like a poker game here and there, but are they really that good of friends? Who knows?
Exactly.
But Alexis is best man. Ryan and Espo will be groomsmen.
Yes.
But.
And so now I'm excited because I would love for Alexis to actually wear
a suit. That'd be really cute.
Because I think I like, girls who wear, like, cut custom suits. Well,
did you see Beckett like, wore the tie yeah. neck? Look really good.
So I'm just saying, cute. I think that, you know, with a pair of some pumps mm-hmm. and, like, a suit, I think Alexis could definitely pull that
she
off.
She could definitely pull it off.
So there you go. Alexis, wear a suit to your father's wedding.
Done.
Done. All right, so let's get into the case.
Yes.
The show opens with, we find out his name is Logan Moore.
Yep.
It's a skateboard versus a motorcycle.
Motorcycle
Gee,
wins.
I wonder who's going to win.
Motorcycle wins.
I mean, and then he brought a gun to a street race, and there's just no going back to that. So we find out that Logan Moore is an up-and-coming professional skateboarder.
Yep.
Who is in town from California. For the, what were they called?
It was the New York Street Sports Festival.
Yeah. Which I kind of liked this whole angle and that they took us there and we got to see some of the events and people doing stuff. I was like, it's nice for them to kind of be out of the office.
Yeah.
A little bit and really hanging out in the streets.
In the streets and the outdoor, get some fresh air.
Fresh New York air.
Mm. Yeah. But in the pocket of Logan Moore, there's an address. And they're like, obviously, that's next clue. And they go, and it's this girl who used to hang out with Logan when she lived in California, and he sent a box to her that he didn't want to bring on a plane. And I'm just thinking, like, where is this all going? And then when he came to pick it up, he was acting weird. So I was like, I don't know what to make of this.
Like, what's in the box?
What's in the box?
What's in the box? Yeah, I don't know how well Holly knew Logan. Because she seemed like she knew him, but then not really maybe that well. And then he's being kind of secretive about a box being sent there. I don't know if I would have. I feel like that's like when you're flying and they're like, hey, has anyone asked you to check any luggage for them? You always say no. Like,
don't have someone you barely know send a random box to your house.
Yeah, that was just a little
weird.
Sketchy. But we do find out that he was there for the streets. Sports festival.
Yeah.
And that Manny Castro is this other competitor who him and Logan don't get along. They have a big rivalry going on. So Beckett and Castle go down to talk to him at the festival. And he kind of acted a little shady too because they have him on video
being
threatening.
Like, well, he was always number two. And so, like, Logan out of the picture, he's winning all the events. And you're just like, well, logically, he definitely has a motive because now he's, like, on top of his game. Mm-hmm. And they have this video of him, like, saying, you're done. I don't even know if he might have said, I'm going to kill you. But, like, basically, you're done, whatever. And apparently, it was filmed, you know, he said it's all talk. Like, it's rivalry, it's competition, fans eat this up. But he caught Logan breaking into the festival's, like, mobile office and kind of, like, ransacking the place. And he didn't know really what he was looking for or if he found it. But that kind of leads to Tommy Fulton, who runs the festival.
Yeah, who looked kind of shady.
Did you know?
I didn't.
We don't want to reveal anything. But did you know who the killer was? Because I didn't.
I had a strong inclination.
Okay.
Of people who were involved.
Me too.
Just because I didn't like the way they looked.
Me too.
But I didn't know who did it. I was still like, aren't Albanians involved somehow?
Yeah. Well, Tommy was still like,
so strongly focused on the Albanians.
It's always the Albanians. But Tommy was like, the only thing missing is my gun. And I'm like, well, I don't know. Like, if you shot someone with your gun and then you say that was the weapon that was stolen, I was like, is he it? Like, is he the killer? And he's just really bad at hiding the evidence?
I was just kind of like, I feel like he knows more than he let on.
Yeah.
Which, you know, was true, too. But we also find out that when Logan came to register for the event, he got a mysterious phone call and kind of was yelling at someone, you know, I can't believe you'd want this after all these years.
Yeah.
You know, so we find out that there was an Albanian that he knew.
Yeah.
From back
in
the day. His mom dated
an Albanian who he did not get along with. And apparently he helped the police put him behind bars. And then the Albanian turned on his mom. And his mom was actually serving more time than the Albanian. Bad situation.
Ladies, never trust your man.
Nope. And then Logan was getting like 20 calls from this social club that was known for Albanian mob ties. And then they go talk to, what his name is, Anver?
Yes.
Yeah, on Veer.
On Veer. Oh, yeah, because we also met Ross DeKooning.
Yes.
Who we found out that...
That's where he's staying.
Through the Grubhub app, which is amazing, and I use it all the time. They were able to trace that, you know, he'd been ordering food all week from...
To this place.
To that place, and then from there we found out about On Veer. On Veer claims that, you know, after some force, well, not after lying a little bit, he does admit to meeting up with Logan at a diner to apologize, but that Logan would only meet with him if he brought $3,000.
It's getting like this, more is being piled on. I'm like, what is happening here? There's so many layers.
Yeah.
And apparently, On Veer is like, I wasn't trying to do anything. I wanted to apologize.
I found the Lord in jail. And of course. Part of my steps is, you know, making amends. He even offered to testify
to help his mom
get out. But I mean, we know that Logan and his mom's relationship was a little.
Yeah. And Logan obviously did not trust him because he like brought the gun to the meeting because he wasn't sure how it was going to go down. But On Veer just gave him the $3,000.
Yeah.
And that was it. And he didn't really know where he went after that.
Yeah. But then we do find out that Logan was seen leaving the loft that he had been staying at with a skateboard and a duffel bag that seemed very heavy because the doorman offered to hail him a cab and he was like, no, and takes off on a skateboard. We know that his gym membership.
Yeah. So he was found with a key around his neck. So many elements.
There's so many elements. I was like, when will the evidence stop coming in and we'll start getting answers?
Yes. Yeah. So apparently, I don't know, someone, maybe Tori at CSU, found that the key was to a 24-hour gym and basically put two and two together. Where do you store a duffel bag? At a gym. So they go and find that his card, his membership card, was only swiped for 2 minutes, like basically enough time to stash something. So they go to the gym. And they find the duffel bag. It has, like, rope, tools, like a glass cutter. Lock-picking tools, basically to rob something, like, go steal something. Mm-hmm. And they get the security footage, and it was not Logan.
Yeah.
It was Carter Wexland.
Did you see him at the party?
Yeah, I thought it was him who was the killer.
I didn't even see him at the party.
He does, like, a little, like, they run into each other, like, him and Castle or him and Beckett. Run into each other, and he's like, whatever, dude. And I'm just like, it's him.
It's like, it's always the
random encounters. It's like not big enough to notice, but he was there. And I was like, Carter did it.
Yeah,
I was like, so wrong.
Yeah, they were like, oh, he was at the party. I was like, he was? Yeah. I must have been looking at my notes writing.
He also is on Starcrossed. Do you watch that show?
No, I don't.
Well, he's on that show too. So then it really stood out to me because I was like, what's he doing on this show?
You're like, what are you doing there?
But yeah.
But so we find out that it was Carter. We also know that before Logan was killed, he had gone, they found a receipt. He had gone to an electronics store and asked for a Hi8 camera, which for those of you who don't know, who are too young to know, back in the day, video cameras used to be a lot bigger.
Yeah.
And they'd have these bigger tapes that went inside. There was no memory cards or anything.
Those didn't exist yet.
Yeah. Those didn't exist yet, so you couldn't just automatically, you know,
so you're upload it to a computer. Why he needs this 10-year-old video camera.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Who knows? But we get some answers from Carter. Carter has a past, you know, a past in the crime things, but he told the police officers that Logan paid him $3,000 to do a simple B&E,
breaking and entering.
Because we know our crimes here at AfterBuzz TV.
Castle teaches a lot.
But he started noticing that things were getting more involved and he wanted more of the cut.
Yeah.
You know, instead of just $3,000, he's like, I'm putting a lot at risk here. Mm-hmm. And Logan told him it's not about the money. It's about making things right for a friend who
died. And you're like, well, then who's this?
Yeah. Like, who? Another friend?
I can't keep track.
So.
But, yeah.
They're able to figure out, well, Ryan's able to figure out, based on the location, what 15-story building that this guy, like,
yeah,
what's it called, berets? No.
Like
the rock climbing term when you're jumping down?
Know.
No?
No.
No one?
No one.
Bueller?
Bueller? Spelunking?
What?
Sure.
Wait, what did you say? I just heard.
Like, when you're coming down and you're mountain climbing and you're like, beret.
Never mind. I was thinking of
going down caves. I have no idea.
I'm right now, and I'm muted.
Thanks for trying, Roya.
Clearly anyway,
whatever it is.
Beckett and Castle go there.
Yeah.
And it's so funny because they walk in and there's like a new window.
Like being walked out.
Being like replaced. And they talk to, it's the law offices of Brett Zareski.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, no, no, there's no break-in. There's and they're break-in. Like, we saw the glass, the new piece of glass. And he was like, no, it was a bird. A bird hit the glass. And you're just like, could he be any more shady?
I mean, that must have been one drunk bird to just fly into the glass and completely shatter it.
They must have used Windex.
Yeah, Windex.
Totally had Windex. But he's a lawyer, so he knows what he needs, a warrant and all that jazz. Mm-hmm. So he doesn't have to answer anything right now.
I mean, sometimes being a lawyer is good. He tells them to come back with a warrant or a subpoena. So basically, kick rocks.
Get out.
Y'all. But Ryan, some suits found the camcorder nearby where Logan had been shot down. And then how convenient.
There's
a little piece of the tape that's still in there where the cassette should have gone.
Yeah. Well, and before this, they talked to the mom.
Oh, yeah. They talked to the mom.
Because they're like, who is this dead friend? No one knows. They ask the friends. And they go talk to the mom who is still in prison. And she's like, well, all I remember is this kid, Jay Dixon, who died 6 years ago. And then conveniently on the little strip that's still in the camcorder is Tommy Fulton. It's Logan. And he's kind of yelling at Logan saying, don't tell anyone what happened.
Or you'll be next.
Or you'll be next.
Which I thought, I was like, wow, out of every 6 second clip that could have been left behind that in the camcorder. The confession is the part that made it.
6 second clip that made it. And you know Tori could make that stuff like totally clear. I was like, it was like all crumpled up and like broken. And she's like, see, I hit a button and we can see the whole thing.
Enhance view. Enhance, enhance, enhance.
And then they hit it 100 times and then it looked perfect.
And then it looks perfect. So they call, they also find out the connection between Brett and Tommy. And it's that Brett does all the contracts for the street festival and he's also Tommy's personal lawyer. So they both come down to the
precinct. Get a little interview going.
Yeah, get a little interview going. And Tommy is just flat out like, look, I'm not going to jail for someone else's crime.
Yeah, Brett's like, don't say another word. You don't have to do this. And Tommy's like, dude, you're fired. I'm not going down for this.
Which, that makes me think, was Brett also the killer, DK's lawyer? Was he tied together with the whole trust fund thing? Why he was so adamant about him not talking?
I was kind of questioning that too, if he was like a kid from the neighborhood too and knew about it and that's why he's everyone's lawyer. I don't know.
And then think about all the lies, because I mean we've already said it, but in the confession Tommy says that he used to record tapes of Jay, Logan, and DK and Jay and Logan making videos of skateboarding.
Yeah.
And then one day he brought his friend DK.
Yeah.
And Jay could do all the tricks. He was younger and he was better.
And DK and he was lost talking his trash. Cool.
DK lost his cool, starts slamming him against the beam. And then, you know, the kid's body is just like dead.
Yeah.
So they made a deal with him that, cause it's all caught on tape.
Yeah.
That they'll give him $5 million for the tape.
And they're like, what kid has $5 million? Yeah. And trust this kid is a trust fund baby, but the little hitch is that his trust fund isn't available till he's 21 years old. So they still have this thing riding over their head this whole time because the exchange hasn't happened yet. Mm-hmm. They still have the tape. He still has the $5 million because he doesn't have access to it yet. So Tommy's just like, I'm done. This has been like a part of like hanging over my head so long. It just needs to like, I'm over it. I don't need it. It just needs to, like, be solved.
Yeah. So now can we talk about how many lies were told during this thing? Because
so many.
When we met DK, he said that him and Logan met when Logan was living in California or something. Tommy Fulton never said that he was a childhood friend.
He said he didn't know Jay Dixon is.
Yeah, he didn't know Jay Dixon. At no point did he say, like, oh, you know, like, I run this festival, but me and Logan actually grew up in the Bronx together, and, like, we're good buddies.
A lot of really good information was left out of these interviews.
Like, just that kind of stuff, I mean.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Kind of would have come in handy for us to figure out a little bit better who the killer was.
Yeah. But
I also get and understand that they didn't want us to figure that out, so.
I had a hard time figuring it out. I thought it was Carter. Totally thought it was Carter. And he was involved.
He was involved.
But not quite in the murder.
And I thought it was Tommy, and then when we met DK, I was like, oh, he's just so douchey.
Yeah. There was something about him. Yeah,
it just rubbed me the wrong way about him, so that's why I was just kind of like, I'm not going to forget about you, but I don't know how to link you in. And that was the thing. They left out the information that we needed to find the link.
Well, and they were going to match. DK had a motorcycle that they were going to match the tire tracks. And, you know.
They crashed his birthday party, which they were invited to, technically.
They were.
Beckett was invited
to that. They weren't crashing, technically.
Yeah, Beckett was invited to that party. So be careful who you invite to your parties, like police officers.
Because things don't end well.
Yeah. And then I guess the last thing I just want to talk about briefly is just how much Beckett and Castle, like the whole theme of tonight's episode was jealousy and how being a sore loser will turn you into like other monsters.
A murderer.
Yeah, a murderer. And then you have Castle and Beckett and their game of Scrabble. And no one beats Castle at Scrabble ever. Insert Beckett.
I know.
And she beats him twice.
I love how at this rematch, the second game, she's like, you know what? I forfeit. He's like winning. He's so like, oh, I got this.
Arrogant about it too.
And she's like, I'm going to forfeit because you know it's going to kill him. She knows it's going to kill him. And he's like, no, you can't do that. And she just like, boom, like 300, 400 points, wins again. Yeah, it was just great.
She's like, but hey, that's what you
Castle
asked for
needs.
It.
Castle needs this type of woman.
Yep.
Puts him in his place.
I even put in my notes. I was like, he deserved it because he was gloating and like getting too big headed. He's like, oh, I have 312 to your measly like 170 or whatever it was. And she's like, oh, I mean, I tried to fold. I tried to be the better person.
Exactly.
I tried to be the girl who lets her boyfriend win because, yes, we do that, guys. We let you win a lot of times because we know you can't handle it when you lose.
It's true.
And then, boom, she just busts out that word and beat him by 2 points. It's like, ooh.
Boom. So, and then she's like, I know you can't handle another game, so let's just play strip poker to keep your mind off some. Like, it's not everyone wins, I think, in strip poker. So
they definitely didn't finish that game. They just were like, screw it, let's go.
And I think that was the point.
Yeah.
She was like, there's no winner or loser.
No winner or loser. There's also no one here right now. We have the apartment to ourselves. Let's make magic.
Yeah.
So let's get into our predictions.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
All right, so next week we see that we're finally going back to the storyline of Beckett's mom.
Yeah.
We found out a little bit of information earlier in the season about the guy who's running for
the senator.
Yeah,
well,
the senator.
He's running for president.
For president,
he's like aligning himself to run for president in the future. Maybe that day is coming. Mm-hmm. But he's a senator who is involved with her mother's murder. She saved his life once. He saved her life once. But it seems like he's setting her up now.
Yeah.
That's what it made it seem
like. It kind of seemed like she was going after him.
Yeah.
For something.
Well,
to kind of discredit her, he's going to make her out to be a bad guy.
She says, I'm not going to let this person become president of the United States when I actually know the truth of his history and the type of person he is. And this has been going on for so long that I don't think it's going to be solved next episode. I think it's just going to keep the continuing going.
It's kind of like the underlining tone of the entire series. Yeah. It's like that storyline that they can't ever get rid of. So every now and then they're going to sprinkle a little bit of juice for you.
But it worries me because that's such a huge storyline. And I think it'll take up like the majority of the episode. I'm like, where is the wedding planning happening?
Yeah. Like I think that's why they gave us so much wedding talk in this episode, because next week is going to be serious again.
Yeah. Like very, there's going to be nothing.
Yeah.
Like no Alexis, no Martha, no bridesmaid dresses. Nothing. It's
nothing.
All going to be about this. And then it's just, I still think they're just going to elope.
Oh, well, we'll see that.
We'll see.
We'll see. Well, make sure you guys let us know what you think. You can hit us up on social media sites. Where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Kate Aquilano.
And I'm on Twitter and on Instagram at The Tiana Hobson. And you can check out all of our AfterBuzz TV shows at AfterBuzz TV. And make sure you go onto iTunes, find our podcast, and like and rate and comment on YouTube. Give us 5 stars. And don't forget to check out Chasing Maria Menounos on Oxygen Tuesday nights at 10 p.m.
You won't regret it.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. I've seen myself on a couple episodes, so keep watching. You never know what After Buzzers might pop up.
It's really fun.
It's really fun. So until next week, guys, thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you then.
Bye, guys.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.